then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for life and health and strength, for this time, Lord, that we've set aside, for each soul that's here, for the heads that are bowed in your presence. And I pray you, Father, please, that you would be one of our number this evening, that you would take the hymns, the fellowship, the praises, the prayers, the reading of your word, the teaching and preaching of your word, Lord, just everything. I pray you, Lord, that you would take it and use us to mold us and shape us, Father. That you would use it to, that you would cleanse us, that you would refresh us, Lord, that you would forgive us where we've let you down. Father, that this would be a time of edifying, of comforting, of strengthening, of an imparting of wisdom, and emboldening, Lord, the things that we need, our daily bread. Thank you for loving us, Lord, and for your patience and long-suffering for us. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your Son, Christ Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for the conviction of the Holy Spirit and the good sense to take it, your word. Bless our time in your presence, Father. We just ask this, of course, for private prayer requests and petitions. We ask also for them. And we pray for absent brothers and sisters, Lord. I pray you, please, that you would, Lord, spare and just be with. We ask all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's start with 260. It gets the most votes this evening. 260. He is able to deliver thee. Suggestions is back a page or two to 246, 246. This one was written by Fanny Crosby.
This is an oldie but a goldie. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Well, again, we'll just remain seated. We'll let you rest those legs for a little bit.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the Lord of all. Well, if you would like to come up and bring a sub bag over here. What you want? Turn back to the book of Job, chapter 4. Then Eliphaz, the Temanite, answered and says, "If we have said communion with thee, wilt thou be grieved? But who can withhold himself from speaking? Behold, thou hast instructed many, and thou hast strengthened the weak hands. Words have upheld him that was falling, and thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. But now this is come upon thee, and thy faintness that toucheth thee, and thou art troubled. Is not this thy fear, thy confidence, thy hope, and the uprightness of thy ways? Remember, I pray thee, have you ever perished being innocent? Or where were the righteous cut off? Even as I have seen, they that plough iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. But at the blast of God they perish, by the breath of his nostrils are they consumed. The roaring of the lion, and the voice of the fierce lion, and the teeth of the young lions are broken. The old man perisheth for lack of prey, and the stout lion dropped or scattered abroad. A thing was secretly brought to me, and my ear received a little thereof. And thoughts from the visions of the night, when deep sleep fall from men, fear came upon me, and trembling which made all my bones to shake. And this spirit passed before my face, tearing my flesh up. It stood still, but I could not discern the form thereof. An image was before mine eyes. There was silence, and I heard a voice saying, Shall mortal man be more than just? Shall mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his maker? Behold, he put no trust in his servants, and his angels he charged with folly. How much less than them that dwell in the house of clay, whose foundation is in the dust, which are crushed before the moth? They are destroyed from morning to evening. They perish forever without any regarding it. Doth not their excellency, which is in them, go away? They die even without wisdom. Amen.
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 Thank you, Will.
Good verses. They remind me a little bit there whenever he was saying about, I have seen them that plough iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. And Lapis, the Temanite, was talking to Job there, he's basically saying that if you were living right for God, bad things wouldn't happen to you. That's not the way life works. And the Lord himself even said that bad things happen. Sometimes things just happen. The important thing is that you get right with God. So if the ultimate bad thing happens and you lose your life, your soul is saved, and that's what's important. But good verses. We really appreciate them, I think. Does anyone remember Job? Was it Job 19:25?
I know that my Lord liveth, which has stand from the earth and the latter days.
Oh, yeah, pretty much.
No,
that's pretty good. I put you on the spot, and I wasn't meaning to. But that's close enough for me, as a fellow says. Amen. Need to keep those good verses rattling around in our heads. Has anybody any additions to the prayer list? Lord willing, in about 8 or 9 days' time, the work will be commencing out in the entryway to replace the inside walls. It took a bit of a battering whenever we were fixing the outside walls. So, depending on how things go, there might be a midweek service missed, but we will be having our end of week services as usual. Hopefully, it'll only take what? A few hours, Norman, to fix that all out. A few hours each day for a week. And then we'll have, as you can see, the walls took a hammering whenever we had to, we literally had to go to nearly just the wallpaper on the side of the room to replace timbers and one thing and another. Yes, indeed. Is he okay, or is this private prayer request, did
yes,
you say?
Yes.
Sorry. Have you any private prayer requests? Well, does anybody else any private prayer requests that like us to keep reminding the Lord about? I've got you down, Norman. Monica and these down. William, Elaine, Stephen, Pat, I still have to check about. And Amy. Alright.
Just the King family.
I haven't heard anything. I've tried contacting David a few times, but I haven't heard anything. bad?
Well, it's here in England. She's developed COVID. That's pretty bad. Why they have a central home with a nebulizer.
King Fan.
And maybe pneumonia. Why they did it, I don't know. And there's a distinct possibility that David King is making his way there. You know, he's, if you see him missing and he's out of radar or whatever, maybe a week or two later, say, oh, my father was in England, oh, we had to go and see about my sister, we had to, you know. They need a lot of prayer.
Well,
it's more or less that the folk that are holding it all up need the prayer.
Yeah.
Rachel's right, doing well spiritually, but is getting a lot of bombardment. She's getting a lot of phone calls from her sister and things like that, and she just needs to be prayed for, that she'll have the mental and the spiritual stamina to face it. And that's generally what needs to be prayed for them, for the Christians in that family, that they will be given the mental and spiritual stamina to face it all. It really
yes,
is.
Indeed. And there's a lot of that going on. Isn't it awful that that's two or three, maybe even four families that I know, where the family's worst trouble is coming from the family. So we need to pray for Christian families. So we'll put that down as well.
Yeah, it's, you know,
at least you expect trouble from lost people. You don't expect it from your flesh and blood or from the folks in the church, but that
your person though can be sometimes
pardonable.
Dynamite.
Yeah. Yes indeed. So we'll pray for William and Rachel and Lillianne and the family and for the King family.
Yeah.
So please remember that. The work in the church commencing the 15th of...
That's under your announcement.
Why not the 14th?
It's Valentine's Day.
Everyone to start on Valentine's Day.
Sorry, I can't make the 15th.
Start the 16th. We are going to, eventually, barring Derry slipping off into the sea, or all the roads caving in, we are going to go down and see my dad.
Hopefully.
Lord willing, that's what I was saying. We had planned about a month ago, but I came down with that bad head cold and I was out of commission for a week and a bit. As far as spreading it around, you notice I didn't mind coming into church and shouting at you from the pulpit, but and then Monica came down with it whenever we were going to go down again, so it's been postponed for about 4 weeks actually. So my dad's doing right. He's been discharged from the clinic that looks after your eyes. He got both of his eyes done and he's really pleased with the results. His only bother now is reading newspapers in by lamplight instead of daylight. He needs minor magnification for that, so we're really pleased about that. Is there anything else? Pray for Christy and Taylor. I don't know where they are. I pray they're okay. Pray for Charlotte and Colin. Got a message sent to me that he was cleaning and tidying and lost track of time. So please do pray that his watch work for him in the future. Pat and Steve. Steve's not well. I got a call from him today and I think it was just after an angina attack and he sounded really poor. And I hopped in the car and called round to see him. He seemed to pick up whenever I was there, but he's getting at least one angina attack every day and it's just knocking him back, rocking him back on his heels, and he's maybe getting two some days. And Pat's got her hands full, so pray for Pat and Steve both. It's difficult days for him. Please do pray for him. Get an opportunity, drop him a line, call in and visit. They don't be anywhere, so they'd be more than happy to entertain you for a wee while. But please do drop my line. It's times like this when brothers and sisters need to be brothers and sisters. And be there. Even if sometimes people only need a wee bit of company. And see all this carrying on with this COVID malarkey that kept people away from people. It's not just your voice that people need sometimes. It's your presence. The The Bible actually says, the Spirit in me bear witness with the Spirit in you that we are the children of God. And if you are not there, it's only your voice, you don't get that. Now, it doesn't matter what social media you're using. Facebook, WhatsApp, Snapchat, they're not the same as being there. So if you can, give him a ring. If you can, give him a shout. He appreciates it. They both send their regards and they thank you for all the prayers. And just keep praying. Anything else? We're glad to have our visitors tonight. Our permanent visitors. We'll always have a spot beside a radiator in this bad weather. And hopefully come the good weather, there'll be a spot beside a window with an opening up the top. So, but we'll always... you have a whole seat to yourself. You can even lay out in it with a wee pillow and there'll still be room for everybody this evening. But we're glad to have you. Very well. Anybody got any thanks? God been working in your life anywhere? Good. If you want to share, great. If not, Steve has blessings. Thank you for the blessings. Ling for work. Christy safe return home. Monica's back on her feet again. We can, I'm stroking Monica off and Christy off. It's not that we're not glad they're back, but those things have passed and my dad's discharged from the clinic. So we're down to blessings. All good? All good. Let's pray. You be okay to lead us? Well,
yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Christy, and your son, Dan, across the rest of the Lord. For many miles for blessing you give us day by day. And week by week, and month by month, Lord, as well, Lord. We're flaps and flowers, we're flying with Frank, Dr. Shang, Lord. We're flying as goes to the model, Lord, for many trouble. Keep him safe and well, Lord. Keep him safe as well. We're flying as kind of work and the client, Lord. We lose daily, we at the end of discomfort from people's lives, Lord, and point people to the old world cross for the sense we see it as well, Lord. Lord, we've called Charlotte, we've called his working, Lord, for many trouble, Lord, and bless him and keep him and bring both Charlotte and Colin to your aspects by the time, Lord. Love the mentor and keep safe as well, Lord. Save Stephen, Carl, and John, Lord. Bring them to church again, Lord. Love from the troubles, Lord, and save their souls as well, Lord. With Christy and Taylor, Lord, with them, to enjoy mercy. Love the mentor, Lord. Help Christy in his work, Lord, and his PhD, Lord. Keep top of his work, Lord, and bless him and keep him, Lord. Bring him to the aspects of my time, and bless him and keep him, draw him closer walk with thee, fly on our flag, Lord. With Stephen and Pat, Lord, with Pat and our moderator and assisting Steve and helping him, Lord, give him more assistance, Lord, give him strength, Lord, with mental, physically, and spiritual, Lord, and keep us safe and well, Lord, with Steve and his entire, Lord, you would help him, Lord, take away the pain, take away the suffering, take away the shock, Lord, and heal him, Lord, and provide for him, and bold him, Lord, and keep him safe as well, Lord, keep him safe and well, Lord, and with us all, Lord, with John Bradfield, as he's over and as he's after his eye operation, Lord, may prove his eyesight, Lord, and help him to keep him and draw closer walk with you as well, Lord. Lord, this night, this day, Lord, help us to go to a new week, those from any troubles, Lord, and any new challenges, maybe met both with thy son, Lord, in remembrance of him, Lord, and the voice of our Lord, you use it to talk to people of their need of a Savior, Lord, and those that are lost, Lord. Lord, Chris Marcus comes to deliver the gospel, Lord, help him, Lord. Give them strength, Lord, and give them a touch of the Spirit, Lord, and reach out to our souls, Lord, and touch our souls, Lord, when we see a blessing light. Give us and keep us this night, fly on our throne, fly for Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Will. Let's take our big hymn books again, and we'll sing another song. Hymn number 45. 45 was one of our picks. When I can read my title clear. If you're fit, let's stand as we sing.
When I can.
I'm glad, all I can say is I'm glad it's not me.
I will take mine to the church.
Well, I record the service on it, so I have to. It's just reminded me to make sure mine's on the airplane. And it wasn't. We're going to finish in hymn number 27, at least out of this part of the service, the old rugged cross.
On the hill far away,
Excuse me, I thought it was feeling a bit warm. I took the jacket off and it just felt just a little bit less than warm, and so I decided to put it back on again. Luke chapter 15, if you'd like to take a turn there. We're going to be reading in the parable of the prodigal son, or the return of the prodigal son. If you ask people what a prodigal son was, most folks would say the son that came back. But it doesn't actually mean that, it means a wasteful son. So, we're going to be reading in this portion of God's Word. And I would like to ask you a question on a completely separate subject of wasteful children, or prodigal sons, returning of them. I would like to ask you a question. I asked everybody a question, I think it was last week, are you smarter than a chicken? This week, I'd like to ask you if you're smarter than a hog. Pig. We're reading in Luke chapter 15, beginning at verse number 11. And he said, this is Jesus speaking in parables to the publicans and the sinners and the scribes and the Pharisees, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divided unto him his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thine hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to make merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead, and is alive again, and was lost in his fire. Amen. That is our reading. Our verse is our 15 and 16, where it describes the situation of the prodigal son when he runs out of funds, and his situation when everything's get tight. Amen. Let's have another wee word of prayer, and then we'll continue on. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again. Thank you for your word, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I pray you, Lord, that you would be with us all as we take this time around your word. You would speak to us, that you would enlighten us and edify us, and Father, that you would help us. We just love you and praise you, and pray most importantly for your will to be done, for prayer requests to be answered according to your will, and for lost souls to be saved, and for saved souls to be edified. Please protect us and cleanse us and refresh us, And deliver to us our daily bread this day, Father. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I am sure we all know the parable of the prodigal son. It's at the risk of repeating themselves and even reminding you, sometimes it's nice just to be reminded of something that is well known. Well, it speaks of a man with two sons that split the inheritance and off he went. It doesn't speak of, it's a parable, and it's speaking of the way we are. Because technically speaking, every one of us was at one time a prodigal son or a prodigal daughter. There was a time whenever we resided safe and secure in God's grace in the palm of his hand. The Bible says as infants and as little children, we are blessed and we are kept. In fact, the Bible says that the angels are sent to minister to those that would be heirs of salvation. In other words, saved souls have angels attending to them, sent by God. But it also says that the little children, their angels do always behold the face of their Father which is in heaven. So there comes a time, and Paul said, and he explained it like this. He said, you know, there's a time in your life before you know what's right and wrong. He said, I was alive without the law once. In other words, as a little child, not knowing my left hand from my right hand. But then the commandment came. In other words, I started to understand what was right and wrong. Sin revived and I died. He didn't just drop dead. He was dead in trespasses and sins. He was in need of a Savior, which we all know took place many years later on that road to Damascus. And from that, we have a lot of the New Testament. There is a time. And this is a picture of us. It's a picture of us as we grow up into the world, as we start to see what's right and wrong and step away. And all of us did, even only for a minute, step away from God. There comes that point, should it be a day, should it be a year, should it be decades? There comes a point whenever we are out from under that grace afforded to us by our age. And it is really up to us what it is we do, even then with our lives. We can fritter them away. We can stop and say, hold on a wee second, I don't want to be a wasteful son. And not every person that gets saved has squandered their lives, but the time that they spent outside of God's grace, outside of his salvation, is wasted time, other than to teach you the lesson that you need to get saved. And I think maybe like this son that wandered off, not for everybody, but for those that get saved, we find that what the world is offering us is not enough. It's not good enough. It's not satisfying. It's demeaning. It's bad for the soul. It's bad for the mind. It's bad for the spirit. Bad for the body. And we come to that realization, hold on a wee second. Life was far, far better whenever I was with, when I walked with God. I had a peace in my heart. I had contentment. I was looked after. I was fed and watered. Why would I not go back to that? You know, God promises us a lot of things. He says, with food and raiment, be content. It's nice to have food, and it's nice to have clothes, and God says, I'll sort you out for those things. And he goes back and he has this speech prepared, and this is a contrite soul. This is a soul that's realized, hold on, I've made the gravest of mistakes here. I pray. I will go back and beg and plead as a destitute, hell-deserving sinner that the Lord Almighty will forgive me and take me back into his family. And this is exactly what he does. And we know the story. He's coming back with a broken heart and he's expecting punishment. But his father, our father, just like this father, sees us a great way off. And as we come to him, he will come to us. And he will meet us. And he gives us sonship, daughtership. I say sonship, but you know it's for men and women. He invites us into the family. And just like the other parables of the of the woman with the 10 pieces of silver that loses one, of the shepherd with 100 sheep who loses one, and they search high and low for it, and whenever they get it, they rejoice. There is rejoicing, more rejoicing, over one soul that gets saved rather than the 99 that are saved already, because it's important. Those 99 are saved. But that one soul, and there's so many hymns that talk about them being like the lower lights be burning, and talks about a lost soul being in the rough seas, in danger every moment of death. And that is very really, that is truthfully, verily, the Bible says, the case with the lost soul. We spoke whenever Will was doing the reading of the things that can happen to you in your life. And we don't know. The only thing we can know for certain in this life, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen to others tomorrow, to the world. We don't know that. But we can know that we are safe and secure in the Savior's hands, and that he will never let us go. We can know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We can know that. And knowing that, we can do what God asks us to do. We can serve the King of Kings. We can be the obedient child to our Heavenly Father. And there's a great party. Now, sometimes you get the old sourpuss, and that's what the other brother is. This is just by way of an explanation for us, and any Christian worth their salt is always glad whenever somebody gets saved. This is to explain to us that saved souls are saved and can never be unsaved. But those souls that have just been lost, and just been saved after having been lost, that's worth remembering. That's like a birthday. That's like a child coming out of the hospital. You remember that day. That's what's going on here. Anyway, that's nothing to do with the message. I wanted to just talk about the prodigal son there just for a moment. I know it might seem a little bit odd, but many times in the Word of God, we're likened to animals. We're likened to sheep a lot, because a lot of times we don't make right decisions, and we need a shepherd to keep us pointed in the right direction, even if it's if he's doing it from up there with verses of scripture that we've committed to our memory, because someday he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth, and we shall see him with our own eyes, though, as Job said, our reins be consumed within us. We will see him with our own eyes. Anyway, sometimes people are likened up to wolves. That's normally not a good likening. That means you're up to devilment. Sometimes we're likened unto wolves in sheep's clothing. Sometimes we're likened unto dogs. Many times the Gentiles and unbelievers were likened to dogs and to swine. Again, this has nothing to do with that, but this is an IQ test. And my question to you is, are you smarter than a pig? Are you smarter than a hog? We used a chapter or two previously, I think it was chapter 13, verse 34, where, remember where the Lord said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered you to myself as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Because we chicks, if they want to live, they stay under the shadow of their mother's wings. There's so much going on there, and we're not going, that's recorded, it's on a, hopefully it'll be on the internet before tomorrow afternoon. But that's well worth thinking about. But I got to thinking about pigs. And pigs and me had a big falling out there just about 2 years ago. If we were to look at the Old Testament, this is bad news, Norman, you might want to stick your fingers in your ears for this, but the Bible says that pig meat is an unclean meat. And the Jewish people really shouldn't be eating it. This is what God wanted for the Jews. This is what he gave them in their dietary laws. We do know as well that as far as we're concerned, God said, look, whatever's set in front of you, just eat. Ask the Lord to bless it and just eat it. And don't ask any questions. But after I came out of hospital, And they give me a wee list. There were two bits of paper they gave me in hospital. The first one detailed the operation they were going to do. And I started to feel ill even reading it. And I said, I don't want to read that. The last piece of paper they gave me on the way out was says, list of things not to eat. And sure enough, ham, pork, bacon, sausage rolls, all those things they said, they're on the out and out. And I thought, you know what? There must be a reason why God said, don't be eating pigs. So I did a very small amount of research this evening for a few things that I didn't know. Has anyone ever heard of trichinosis? I think that's something to do with tapeworms and this, that, and the other that resides an awful lot in pig meat. And that's why you always cook your ham, your bacon, your sausages. Nope. No pink. Beef is okay pink. Even lamb is okay pink. Pork has to be cooked properly. It's the same with bears. If you ever go to eating bear, if you ever find yourself in a place on the right side of a rifle with a bear in your sights and you end up shooting him, you can't eat him. Just make sure and cook him properly, because he will give you trichinosis if you don't cook the meat properly. On top of that, it's a very fatty meat. It's full of cholesterol. It's very sore on the digestive system. I've got your fingers in your ears, man. And the doctor said, Mr. Bradfield, this little piece of paper gives you all of those foods that are a bit sore on the digestive system that you would be well advised to avoid. You'll not die, but you will suffer if you eat too much of these foods. And I shouldn't have read it, but it said I shouldn't be eating beef either. So, but I'm going to forget that every now and then for a little bit of steak, just now and then. Pigs are, as the Bible uses them to describe the sinner. And it says, you know what? The pig will always go back to the mire. You can wash a pig. I was just looking on YouTube the other day at a family that had raised a couple of pigs as pets. And they looked lovely. And they were all cleaned and washed. And they had a wee lead on them. And they ate their food out of the bowl. But as soon as you let them out, they're away diving off into the muck and the mire. And that's the way sinners are. No matter how much they, through force of will, chase out bad habits, eventually they come back. And they'll be away back to their bad habits again. They'll eat anything. If you were to throw out there, I would say they're even worse. They're worse than goats. They will eat. Does anybody here of an age whenever you were in primary school and you went for your dinner in the canteen and you threw all of your leftovers, you know, like that meat that had that big bit of gristly stuff right through the middle that you couldn't chew for the life of you, that you ate all around it. You threw all of that stuff and the watery mashed potatoes that you didn't like, and the cabbage that looked like it had been scared to death, and you threw all that into the bin, and who came and got it? A local farmer came and got the buckets of slop to feed their pigs. Now they'd have a fit if you did that, but that's neither here nor there. And the pigs would eat it. And the farmer would throw it in with maybe some bits of old cabbage or bits of turnip or anything. Old husks. Give, throw in a few oats and anything, and the pigs would eat it. Pigs would eat the old meal that rats have been climbing through. Doesn't cost them a thought. And they will lie about in the muck and the mire, and they'll root through it, and they'll eat anything they find. They are not particular, and they're not clean. There's a reason the Bible said to the Jewish people, don't eat this stuff. In this parable, we have this poor fella, who is, like, you're talking about a time worse than today, because we're having it tough at the moment, aren't we? We've got our homes over, our roofs over our head, our central heating, our fires, and all the food we can shake a stick at. We're suffering badly here for Jesus. We're talking about a time whenever this guy is on his own, he's exhausted himself, and whether he's looking for somewhere to be, some shelter, maybe he's sheltered with the pigs. Bible says, I think in Northern Ireland, they say for 2 pence he would have eaten the pig feed. Things were that bad. And I got to thinking, spiritually speaking, are we smarter than a pig? Are we smarter than that old hog that will root around in all the filth and will wallow in it and will eat anything and even be carriers of disease that we're not even really any use unless someone actually has that wee bit of info? Always cook the pork well. Are we any better than a pig? Are we smarter than a hog, spiritually speaking? There's a lot of stuff out there. There's a lot of ideas. There's a lot of thoughts. You don't have to travel the world to discover them all. All you do is say, Google, give me the wildest, most outlandish teachings that people follow in the world. I guarantee you, Google will have a suggestion for you. They'll say, way back in ancient times, people used to worship a god called Molech with their little children, offered up as human sacrifices. And we think, that's terrible. Who would do such a thing? Well, I will tell you who will do such a thing. There's doctors who would do such a thing. There's nurses who would do such a thing. There's teachers who would do such a thing. There's policemen who would do such a thing. I know of a teacher that did such a thing, that offered up her young children into the hands, into the fire for her prosperity. There are shop assistants, there are traffic wardens, there are, you think of any part of society, there are people in this day and age that would follow those outlandish teaching. And you say, but why? Where do they have those statues? They don't have the statue with outstretched hands anymore. They have, instead of a huge metal statue, they have a huge metal box. And it has gas coming in at high pressure, and it burns, and it burns, and it burns, and they have them in abortion clinics. And they throw in those little children that have been torn from their mother's womb, and they incinerate them so that their mother and father can have a more prosperous life and don't have to take time out of their lives to raise those little souls that, thank God, go straight to heaven. Because God has them in the palm of his hand. We have people that believe that. We have people believing that we are creatures that we can actually work our way to heaven. That if we are good enough, and that if we do enough good deeds, there's poor old Mother Teresa, where do you think she is today? Spent her whole life, her whole adult life in India, ministering to the poor, feeding them and tending them to their injuries, to the lepers, and died out there. And people think, oh, she's bound to go to heaven for all the good that she did. No. Or what about that pillar of society that has bridges built in their name, that has hotels or buildings raised in their name? Surely they'll go to heaven because of their good deeds and the great things that they did. The answer is no, I'm afraid not. Or the Jehovah's Witnesses that teach that Jesus didn't die for your sins, he only went into a faint, and you have to do the work to pay for your sins. People would say, well, that sounds pretty reasonable. Like, you don't get anything for nothing. Isn't it amazing how many people will say, on the one hand, you don't get anything for nothing, but we'll spend a fortune trying to get 10 pence off a loaf of bread running around all the shops. You don't get anything for nothing. Someone has to pay for it. You might receive it for nothing, but it costs somebody something. People will believe the wildest things. People will believe that we are not the pinnacle of God's creation. We are not living souls. We're just a better animal. And we should live like that. And that explains perfectly the violence in every turn. That explains the immorality on every turn. That explains the drug use on every turn. That we are just animals and we are subject to our instincts. And do you know what, friends? If it was true, this world would be getting better and better. Is it getting better and better? It's not indeed. It's getting worse and worse. We're not animals. The Bible says we're living souls. We had God breathe into our great 70 or 80 or 90 or 100 times removed granddad, Adam's nostrils, and he was made a living soul by God Almighty. We have the option to act like animals, or we have the option to get saved and start acting like souls that have an eternity in heaven to look forward to, and the consequences of our actions in this world if we don't trust Him as our Savior. People will believe the wildest stuff. And have you seen people looking for a living in this world? I want to put something your way. Have you noticed the glorification of the objectification, is that the right word? Of people. Where men are treated like objects of desire and women are treated like objects of desire. And now they're saying, oh, it's okay to treat people like that if that's their living. Instead of being called harlots and prostitutes, people are called sex workers. As if that's a job that you have to pay taxes and national insurance over. And this is supposed to be normal. I know they do that in Germany and in the EU, which is another good reason to be out of it. These things are supposed to be normal. That people should seek out these people, should hand over their money, because we're just fulfilling our natural urges. The Bible says there is a reason that God created man as man and woman. That the two would come together and be one and join together, and they would satisfy each other physically and emotionally and spiritually, and they would both walk in the direction of God Almighty. But if you want to believe the things that come from the muck and the mire, see how they affect people. See the effect that it has on their minds, on their lives, more importantly, upon their children. Because children show what's really going on in a family. Are we going to believe the muck and the mire? Are we smarter than the pig? If the pig knew of all the diseases that were to be found rooting around in the trash and eating the stuff that other people have had in their mouths, do you think they would eat it? Of course they would, because it's their nature. But you, child of God, have a new nature. You're not the hog anymore that returns to the mire. You're not the dog that returns to the vomit. You're the child of the King of Kings. And instead of drinking out of the filthy cisterns of water in this world, we are to drink that wine that the Lord called down from heaven, the stuff that doesn't make you drunk, but that refreshes your mind and body. We're to drink from that. The Word of God that says, catch a grip of yourself. Don't be letting yourself go. There's a God that loves you. Instead of seeking for your peace and your quiet in thrills and in spills and the indulgence of your pleasures, we are supposed to seek after God for the peace that passeth all understanding, for the ability to overcome the obstacles that come down many times all around us. We are supposed to check with God, not our feelings. Our feelings are they're going to let us down, lead us up the garden path and pull the rug out from underneath us. Did you ever have the rug pulled out from underneath you? Did you? Did you ever land flat on your back and it seemed like everything below the neck just stopped working for a minute? You go, that's happened to me a few times and it's not, and the last time it did happen, I just lay there and thought, right, I'm good for a couple of minutes. If I can't breathe, I'm good for a couple of minutes. And after a minute, lying like a landed fish, it comes back. It's not pleasant. But that's what the world, the flesh, and the devil would like to do to you and I. I am sure we could drive or direct folks to places where people live that have believed the lies. that have followed popular opinion. Oh, the most important thing in the world is to listen to a man that will say anything that he is paid to say. Or the man that has the best advice in the world is the man whose crowning achievement is able to kick a leather bladder around an acre of green grass with some white stripes on it. We should listen to him. Or we should listen. We should listen to our prime minister. After all, he's a fornicator, an adulterer, and he's a liar, and he's a hypocrite. We should listen to him. Or maybe we should listen to the old prime minister from across the border. He's a raging out and out homosexual. He has certainly got our best interests at heart. My tongue is firmly in my cheek. Or should we listen? Instead of the man who's been taking the hand, taking the mick, stealing the money out of our pockets, ruining our children, our society and our families, maybe we should listen to the man that sacrificed everything for our best interests. Maybe we should eat from God's table instead of rooting around in the muck and the mire. Maybe we should actually prove that we're smarter than a pig. Maybe we should. I know I have to be extra careful with my diet, and I envy you folks that don't. I think in heaven the first thing I'm going to ask for is not a bowl of fresh cream with my apple tart, it's just a bowl of fresh cream. And a big steak with the fat all crispy. Maybe just a bowl of lard and a pound of butter. We should be dining at that table that the Lord has prepared for us. I honestly, hand in heart, I have never come across anybody that has done well listening to popular opinion. Even of these last 2 years, the fear that has been ingrained in so many people. I don't know if I mentioned my dad, he was afraid to go out. He was as fit as a fiddle. He had taken 2 or maybe 3 of the injections. He had taken them. He had no side effects. He was afraid to go into people's houses. People, quite literally, that were about to step off into eternity, and he was afraid to go into their houses in case maybe he passed something to them or they passed something to him. How many people have listened to that lie? And have lost out on so much fellowship and growth and protection and safety from those that would normally be at their elbow or at the end of a phone. Simply because they listen to the nonsense that our government is putting out. I'm not saying everything they say is nonsense, but a lot of what they've been talking about the past 2 years is nonsense. God has... I was just thinking, McDonald's has done such a good job at advertising, giving those wee toys away with their Happy Meals. But if you offered a child a nice piece of fresh fish, even with homemade batter on it, or a nice piece of steak, or meatballs, and some peas and lovely gravy, and you know what my favourite meal used to be? Loose mince, peas, potatoes and carrots. And it was all mixed together with a dollop of red sauce on it. And my dad used to say, that's like the dog's dinner. But it tastes really good. Child would rather have a McDonald's burger, which a few studies have actually shown no bugs will even eat. That will literally just set and go hard. Rather than good old-fashioned home cooking. Because people listen to the wrong teachings. And there's people that will sit in churches and they're as lost as a goose and going to hell, and yet they sit in the church because the guy behind the pulpit tells them everything's okay. You don't have to worry about getting saved, I heard a Presbyterian minister tell them, brother. You don't have to worry about getting saved. If you're worried about getting saved and got saved, you really wouldn't have to worry about anything else. But these are the traitors that stand behind the pulpits, spewing their lies that do kill people. Slowly, on the installment plan that ruin mind, body and soul, and the mind, body and soul of those around about them. And what we have to ask ourselves is, are we smarter than a hog? Are we smarter than a pig? Are we smarter? Are we smart enough to listen to what Jesus says? Or are we dumb enough to listen to what the word, flesh and the devil says? I pray that we are. There's a reason for the parables. It's to give us something to sink our teeth into that we can relate to in this world, but that stretches our thoughts and our considerations and our questions into the next world, into eternity. An animal can't do that. We're more than animals. And so the question stands. Last week it was, are you smarter than the chicken? You came back, so I'm assuming you're smarter than the chicken. You come back next week, I'm assuming you're smarter than the hog. But I pray, please, before you take anything into your heart, before you make anything your own, as far as your beliefs go, as far as your faith goes, make sure that it's in God's word. Make sure that God says. Quite a few years ago now, I made it on the TV. That's my one claim to fame in Northern Ireland. The Steve Nolan, was a dinner with Steve Nolan. Part of the discussion came round to, well, the government says, and the health services say, and I'm saying that the LGBT movement is, it's just part of life, and it's perfectly acceptable to be a homosexual or a lesbian, and we should all pat them on the back and say they're doing a fine job. Because really, that's what the world, the flesh, and the devil wants the Christian to say, that sin is okay. And they asked me, what do you think, Mark? And I said, well, the Bible says that homosexuality is a sin. And it's not acceptable by God. In fact, it's an abomination to God. But the homosexual can be saved if they want, if they'll come to God and repent of their sins. He says, but what do you say? I said, well, I say that God hates the sinner and loves the sinner. It's not just what the Bible said. It says you're allowed to have your own opinion. I said, my opinion is the Bible opinion. I'm allowed to have that as my opinion. That is my opinion. That's what we need to do. If any of you ladies or gentlemen, if any of your food hit the floor, depend on the floor. Where's the next place it's going to hit? It's normally going to be the bin. Unless it's dry, you get a 10-second, you get an extra 10 seconds on the 10-second rule if it's dry. If you blow it off, it's probably okay. And if you're lathering it in hot tea, that'll kill whatever germs, you'll be fine. Says the guy, it's going to die of Ebola in the next 2 weeks. I'm only joking about that. If your food hits the floor, normally the next place it hits is the bin. Norman and I, we came across some monkey situations when we were working out there. And I am sure if we'd had hogs, they would have been happy just to jump into the muck and the mire. There's a few wee worms and some big grubs in there. And if the food went into that hole, you would just say, Mr. Pig, you're welcome to it. You wouldn't eat it. You would never look at it again. You would forget it. Because you knew if you put that in your mouth, you could probably die of something. It is no less dangerous to believe false doctrine than it is to put dirty, contaminated food into your mouth. Those doctrines, well, bad doctrines will have the same effect. They will become part of you and they will change the person that you are. In fact, that's one of the reasons why the Lord, whenever he was preaching, and not a lot of people liked it, said, unless you drink my blood and eat my flesh, you are none of me. Now, he wasn't saying, look here, have a bite. We're going to do an episode of The Walking Dead. That's not what he was talking about. He's talking about this. One of the names of Jesus is the word of God. This is the word of God. And we are to make that part of our lives. We are to eat the milk and the meat of the word. We are to drink that pure water of life that is held within those two leather pages at the front and the back of your Bible. And that will keep your life. Psalm 119 verse 11 tells us, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. And when you make that part of your life, that is literally like bleaching your toilet. It bleaches your soul, clean and pure and holy. And that's what God wants for us. Truth be told, that's what we really need. Question again. Be smarter than a hog. I pray you are. Amen. We're stopping there. Thank you for your good time. We'll take a request for the closing hymn if you have one. Be fast to be up with Will.
381.
381, not in the little book.
That's a good fight.
That's a good fight. Let's stand as we sing 381. Bless us and see us safely home. Please help us, Lord, to consider your teachings in all of our situations in life. Bless us and keep us, cleanse us and refresh us, Father, I pray. And thank you for loving us and saving us. Just leave our private prayer requests and petitions with you, Lord. Pray especially for William and Rachel, and wee Lily Ann, and the King family, for Christy and Taylor, for Charlotte and Colin, for Pat and Steve, for Ling and Frank. Lord, for those of us that are here, for Christine, for Beryl, for Will, for Norman, for Monica and myself, Lord, thank you for loving us and saving us. I ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, according to your will. Amen.